Time out. So you're saying that there's one of these that you haven't heard of that I have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Chris. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am back with Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
So, Chris, I don't know about you, but this time of year, or maybe just in general right now, I am feeling tired. I feel like we get through the holidays and that rush and everything comes at us super fast. And then we almost need a vacation from our vacation, especially when kids are in the house.
Yeah, no, things are real right now. And, you know, here in Texas, we just recently went through, at least our part of Texas went through a kind of surprise ice storm that locked us in for like a week. That might be part of the tiredness, just kind of all being together and things kind of being weird.
That is so, so true. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to talk about this series that the church that Chris and I go to, Rick actually just went through a sermon series called the Soulful Series. And it was this idea of like self-care and taking care of your soul and intentional rest. And so if you're interested in going and hearing those sermons, we'll post a link. But I just, as I was listening to him, I was like, this is good stuff for us as adults to know, but it's also great things for us to model for our kids.
Well, so you think about, yeah, and if you think about just the time we've been through, and, you know, I would say things are, you know, essentially back to normal from our COVID years, but, you know, the things that I've been reading and, experts have been talking about, you know, we talked a lot about the acute phase of the stress of, you know, basically the acute phase of the crisis of COVID and all the things that came with it that were so unfamiliar. But the problem is they lasted so long. Mm-hmm. And I think I talked a little bit about last year, you know, feeling like you're being chased like by a tiger, but it just doesn't stop kind of thing.
Yeah.
The problem is that we don't just reset from that. That is something that even if things kind of get back to normal, so to speak, that low-level anxiety still sticks around. It's almost like your body doesn't know how to reset and switch off. And so there's some intentionality that needs to happen in order for us to make it through that. And I think this is why this conversation is so important.
Right. And I believe it was last year, and I can link this too. We talked about your sabbatical, Chris, and what you learned from that and talked about this idea of self-care. But I just think there were so many good practical tips that Rick came up with that as I was listening, I was like, okay, we need to use this in the podcast, whether you're a believer or not, like just taking care of yourself and taking time to say like, I need rest and I need to focus on what's most important and not just fill my calendar up and keep going and going and going. And so I've listed out some Sabbath / rest, this intentional rest, self-care tips that I'd love to talk through. And I think it's one thing to tell your teenagers to do them, but once again, it's most important that you're modeling these as well, that you're saying, hey, we're in this together and let's do it together.
Right. So one thing I will add to this before we get into this is that, you know, we said this on the podcast before, we are people of faith. It's what drives what we do. Unfortunately, what people of faith are not known for are the things that we're talking about here, is bringing rest into the world. We're kind of known for being judgmental and kind of cranky not always the most present and peaceful people either. And so I feel like this is what's so important as we talk through this, is that, you know, this is part of us living out our own faith. I know as I've gone through this, listening to that sermon, that this is not something that has been as natural as I would like. And so for someone who listens to this, it's like, this is, you know, this is important, and we need to make this more important for sure.
Yeah. So the first one is practicing positive self-talk. And so this looks like not beating yourself up, but it really also, in the context of kids and teens, is not letting teens talk down to themselves.
Right.
So I feel like we've even said this on the podcast before, but something like if a teen is really down on themselves with being like, hey, I'm not going to let my friend or someone I love talk about themselves like that. Like, hey, you don't get to talk like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're valuable, you're loved, and kind of bringing that out, but pointing that out of like, hey, even what you think about yourself and even what you say in your mind or to other people about yourself, like, we're not going to do that. We're going to be positive and uplifting in our own lives as well.
This is where we get to be mindful of our own thoughts and paying attention mm-hmm. to the way we talk to ourselves. You can set some time aside to kind of journal the thoughts that go through your mind, or just being mindful of, I just really think that about myself. Did I really say that to myself? And try to replace those with more positive thoughts and more positive words as we think and talk through life. But you can't change it until you're actually mindful that it's there, how you actually speak to yourself. And the better you talk to yourself, the more you can help your teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Modeling that is so important. Now, another one is spiritual care. And the work that we do with teenagers, obviously Teen Life, is very careful and very aware of like that church and state line. But there is something, and Chris, you might be able to speak more to this, but like in the realm of counseling and taking care of the whole person, spirituality is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that they are tapping in to that. So that might look like worshiping regularly. That might look like doing a Bible study or just practicing Sabbath and taking time, maybe talking to someone older than you who can kind of mentor and have that conversation. Whatever that looks like for you or your teenager, spiritual care, though, is part of taking care of your whole body and your whole person as well.
Right. And I think this is where things can get a little bit muddy and assumptions can be made about agendas. But those who, you know, are people of faith, you know, going to worship is a way that we connect. And but that doesn't exclude anyone who doesn't have a necessarily a faith system from connecting. And whether that is through being mindful, whether that is being in a quiet place, and just being aware of you know, the beauty around you and the creation, no matter where you think that might come from, but just being out in something that's bigger than yourself, that's awe-inspiring, is in and of itself spiritual. And so yeah. We have many ways of accomplishing this. And to take care of yourself, this is one huge way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Relational care is also another one. So taking time to be around positive relationships every week, to pour into those relationships that are going to encourage you. This week in my teen life group, we actually talked about relationships, and I had several students talk about these toxic relationships in their life. Now, they might have used much stronger language than I would have to talk about these people,
yeah.
But it's just a reminder of just what a drain that can be if you're surrounding yourself with people who are making you question yourself or who are bringing the drama. And so just encouraging them and yourself, let's think about the people that make me feel better about myself. And that's who I need to be surrounding myself with every week.
I think also one of the things we can do is just turn things off, mm-hmm. separate ourselves from the things that are distracting. Whether that is putting some intentional time away from your phone, away from social media, away from all those things. I know for one thing, this is very job specific for me, but you know, I do lead support groups a few times a week. And one of the things I've started doing is leaving my phone in my car when I walk into the school. And there's some subtle things about that just for me to remind myself why I'm here, and that I know that I won't be distracted and that phone will be there when I get back. I've really enjoyed that, where I've had it, you know, just in my own life, my own context, I found a place I can do that and where it really adds value. But find some ways that we can put down the things that are distracting us, consuming us, whether it's technology, whether it's homework, whether it's just anything that is kind of drawing you away from the present moment. Mm-hmm. Find a way to deliberately say, I'm not going to do that right now, and I'm going to pay attention to what's right in front of me.
Right. And then leading into that, those times where you take a break, make sure you're finding something that is fun and brings mm-hmm. you joy. Of this idea of, if you've heard of this idea of Sabbath, sometimes I think the traditional view of Sabbath is that you like sit around and you do nothing mm-hmm. and you can't do anything fun. And I love that Rick brought up, like, no, what brings you joy? Ask that question. Like, what brings, like, breathes life back into your week, and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun and make sure you're not just working or doing the things you feel like you have to do, but you're also taking intentional time to do things, even together as a family, that you enjoy doing.
Absolutely. And I think one of the ways we can continue this on is with finding quiet times mm-hmm. to separate out. And, you know, obviously when the phone is away or the distractions are away, that will bring quiet, but ways you can intentionally step away. And maybe that is taking a walk in the morning. Getting up earlier is a really great thing. And then to get up early, we have to go to bed earlier, right? And so, which is really hard for lots of us. There's lots of TV to watch after the kids go to sleep. But to be able to go to bed earlier so that we can maybe get up earlier, have a quieter time to focus and to kind of be with our thoughts before everyone else tries to take them over, can be a huge thing. If you're gonna go to bed earlier, getting off your phone earlier will really help out with that too.
That's what I'll say. I'm sure I've said that. I am a night owl. Like, I love to stay up late, but I've really tried to be intentional lately about going to bed earlier. Hmm. And the thing that overall has helped me better than anything is, like, I have put, now I can't remember what it's called, but like downtime, I think, on iPhones is what it's called, where I set at 9 o'clock, my social media turns off, my email turns off. I can get around it, but I have to like consciously get around it. It's not,
you have to make that compromise. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But that has helped so much because I'm not sitting there scrolling on TikTok for 2 hours and then looking up and being like, oh, it's midnight and I haven't even done anything. And that has been so helpful. But even taking that time with your students of like, hey, what are some times that we can create tech-free zones or turn off the things that are draining you at night? So maybe it's downtime. Maybe it's saying like, hey, once a day at dinner, we're going to turn that off. Or at night, you're going to plug your phone up at a certain time and leave it in the living room and we're not going to touch it for the rest of the day. I know we've talked about it. It just has to be so exhausting for a student to never be able to turn it off, to never be inaccessible to friends or drama or the comparison game because they can always get on their phone and look at it.
Right. So we've thrown a lot of suggestions at you. A lot of things that we've heard through the sermon series and things that we've seen. And so that almost seems overwhelming. This is a lot of things that I need to do to feel more connected, take care of my soul. And that's not the point. It's just to make sure that if there's one of these that you feel like is the most likely you'll do, let's just choose that one and give that a try and see how it feels. And so if it's to you, I can go on a walk in the morning. I can get up a little bit earlier. I can go to bed a little bit earlier. Any of these things we talked about, do that one thing and just do it as best you can for a while and just to see how much better life gets and how more connected you feel to yourself and to the people around you. And don't feel like you have to get this just right because this is not natural in this day and age. It's actually look a little odd when you do this kind of stuff, but it is so helpful if you engage with it.
This episode is sponsored by Lubbock Christian University. If you or a teen you know is interested in furthering their education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect partner for you. When you visit their website in the show notes, you'll find information on a youth ministry degree or other ways that you can partner with LCU through summer camps, internships, events, and more. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life and ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Shaps!
For the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about the Discord app. Right. Because we mentioned it a few weeks ago when we talked about our social media report and that it is something that came up with lots of flags in BARC Technologies. And I'll be honest, hadn't ever heard of it, hadn't used it before.
Time out. So you're saying that there's one of these that you haven't heard of that I have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Chris.
And all that I'm saying is I've heard of it. I'm not saying that I got a lot of info on it, but yeah, I sure have. Big day.
Yeah, I literally had to look it up because I was like, I have no idea even what this is. And that's not to say it's not popular because I think it is. It's very just popular. It's just not something that I ever did or my friends ever did. And so it's not something that hit me, but your teenagers might be on this. And so it's worth talking about. But Discord is a voice and text chat tool that started with a really big gamer presence. And so that's where, like, you were talking about video games or a way for you to play with your friends. But it's obviously gained popularity outside of just gaming now. The best comparison I kind of saw, Chris, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's a messaging app that's similar to like Slack or GroupMe maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like all these kind of have a niche that they fall under, even though they do the same thing. So Slack's more of a business application. Mm-hmm. GroupMe is more just kind of a catch-all, because I mean, if you're a parent that has a kid on a sports team, you're in a GroupMe. Mm-hmm. It's just part of life. But yeah, more in the gaming community, you're going to find something like this that will kind of serve that similar purpose, but really gather like-minded folk really around that server, as it's called. And users could join these servers. They're basically like chat rooms. They're themed. They can feature text, voice, and video chat. Servers can revolve around any topic, from huge public servers to small private groups of friends.
Mm-hmm. And so I kind of looked into like what are some pros and cons. And obviously a pro is that it helps people stay connected and communicate. For kids, it can be a really big part of their social life. So if they have a friend that lives far away, that's how they can play video games together and hear their voice. Or some study groups might use Discord, sports teams, clubs, small groups of friends who just want to group chat or video chat. It's a good way to stay connected. So from that standpoint, there's a really big pro. I also saw that they are making some moves to reduce the amount of adult content that's on there. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's settings that include that it kind of like filters through direct messages. And if it contains explicit content, it will filter that out for kids.
Gotcha.
And they also put limits on who you can friend. And then if they are under 18, they can't view these NSFW. So like not safe for work, mm-hmm. whichever one. That's an S word.
Yeah.
For work communities. But kids obviously can lie and get around that.
Mm-hmm. What are some cons?
Yeah, there are some cons. I was looking into this, and if you're not careful, or if your student gets into something that maybe they intended to, or maybe they didn't, it's just really easy because there are 19 million different servers.
Wow.
On Discord. So there is a high potential for inappropriate content. That not safe for work servers are common. That can include porn, sexual content, and more violence, conspiracy theories, basically anything you can think of. A teen can like join a group and talk about it, which, as we know, can be really dangerous if there's not someone there to kind of be like, hey, let's see reason, or hey, mm-hmm. what are we doing here, and having conversations like that. There are also more than 150 million people of all ages on Discord every month. And so that is a lot of people. Like I said, as I was reading this, I was like, how did I not hear about this? How did mm-hmm. I not know about this? Because it's a big deal. But there's always a possibility of predators or your student talking to a stranger and developing a relationship. And so just know that, especially because it's for gamers, which a lot of kids use, there are also a lot of adults who are gaming as well. And so kids need to put up protections and know who they're talking to, and not just get into situations where they're talking to everyone and honestly being more trusting than maybe they should.
Well, the question is, you know, should we allow our kids to download it and use it? And we probably say not until they're a little bit older, mm-hmm. Maybe around 15 or 16. Discord's a widely popular with gamers, and teenagers who are mature enough not go exploring around might be okay. But younger students who maybe don't have as much experience on social media apps or just really getting into that it's just so many different things they can get into, that it probably worth waiting on that if they're younger, mainly because Discord's main danger is inappropriate content. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So just be careful to keep a good line of communication open with your student if they do start using it, and make sure that they know how to use it, how to protect themselves, that you're just really well educated on this messaging app.
For the tip this week, Chris, last year we talked about Black History Month, and I'll link that episode. But this year I came across a post on Instagram from Latasha Morrison and Be the Bridge Youth. And they posted this carousel that was, how do we talk to youth about Tyre Nichols? And honestly, as I was looking through it, I was like, this is so relevant and so helpful for any sort of racial event or any sort of racial topic that you're trying to talk to your teenager with. So whether you're a family member or a mentor or school staff person, they just gave some really good tips. And I just think in honor of Black History Month, it's a good reminder of if something comes up or you're talking about these difficult topics, we need to do so in a way that's helpful for teenagers and not shy away from that either.
Well, one thing I want to mention before we get into this, I hate that we have another tragedy like what happened with Tyre Nichols to prompt these conversations. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do know is with Black History Month, these topics are being discussed at schools. I've got a middle schooler now, like I've mentioned several times on the podcast, and he's coming home talking about some of the things they're talking about in class, just history, history of slavery, different things that have happened to Black folks, and he wants to know more and is talking to me, and it's been just a great opportunity to not necessarily talk about what I think, but more ask those questions of like, mm-hmm. what are you hearing? What do you think about that? You know, all those kinds of things that these young minds are exploring. So unfortunately, this conversation is happening right now because of this, but these conversations are already happening too because of Black History Month in schools.
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing that they said is dialogue versus monologue. So it's important to talk to teenagers instead of just talking at them. Mm-hmm. Making sure when you're having these conversations that you're not lecturing, that you're leaving space for them to engage and ask questions and have a conversation with you. And not just like, hey, I'm going to tell you what happened and then we're going to shut it down. But mm-hmm. let them ask questions. Let them talk through it. They need that space.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about connection on Teen Life Podcast. And this is where connection can't happen in a one-way conversation. Mm-hmm. And so the issues of race and all the things that come with it are so charged. And you as a listener might have some pretty hot opinions about this too. But really most important to help your teenager think for themselves when it comes to this, because it might help you think differently as well.
Right. But it's also important to tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. And so give them honesty. Be authentic. If it's something you're struggling with or that has really impacted you, open up to them. Mm-hmm. about that. Make sure that you're not putting your stuff on them, but at the same time, especially if it's an older teenager, they can handle that. Mm-hmm. And they need you to be authentic if they're going to be authentic back.
Right. And with that, we encourage you to don't react, respond. I said that
kind of
totally
advice
backwards.
Are you giving, Chris?
Yeah, make sure you react poorly. No, don't react, respond. We can't let our emotions get the best of us in these conversations. And these are what are called crucial conversations. We talk mm-hmm. about that a lot around Teen Life, just this idea that there are sometimes hard conversations to be had, and the best you can remove your emotions from it during those moments are the best, and especially if you can model to a teenager during a hard conversation or when conversations get critical or crucial, that we can keep our heads about ourselves and more respond than react. Really helps us get somewhere.
Right. Taking a deep breath before you have an answer, like mm-hmm. kind of focusing and centering yourself before you react to what they're saying or even what happened. Another great tip that I loved is get up and move. Mm. So find something that your student likes and go do it and hold that conversation while doing that activity. So that kind of lowers their defenses. It gives them a chance to fully express themselves. And this is something we find even in teen life groups, like when whether we're coloring a sheet or playing with Play-Doh, when teenagers have something to do, they're more likely to open up mm-hmm. and they're more likely to be vulnerable and be honest. And mm-hmm. so if this is a conversation that you're worried about, maybe go on a walk or maybe play catch in the backyard and have this conversation so it doesn't seem so like heavy and formal.
Yeah, I know I've had a lot of great conversations just playing catch in the backyard. Mm-hmm. That's huge. It just takes the edge off, and mine too, actually. It really helps me just keep a clear head myself.
Right.
Finally, we encourage you to check in regularly with these conversations. Sometimes these conversations lead to delayed processes and feelings. So, you know, basically that you're not going to get it all done in one conversation. And it's easy just to say, okay, well, we did that and not come back to it. But giving yourself the opportunity to go back and check back in and say, how are we feeling now? Have you thought any more about this? Do you feel differently? Keeping the conversation ongoing, because this is an ongoing conversation. This isn't solved mm-hmm. by one-off talk.
Exactly. And with that, that's a wrap on this episode. So we encourage you, if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media. And if something in this episode really connected with you or you think would connect with a friend, make sure you text them the link to this episode. It's the easiest way to share what we're doing. And if you're on an app that has reviews, leave us a review. We'd love to know what you think or what we could be doing. But that is also an easy way for people to find the Teen Life podcast. And with that, we'll see you next week.